give up, I'd be a fool, speaks of perseverance. And that's what I want to speak about this morning is there's a type of perseverance that you might expect me to talk about, being kind of a big fan of Calvinism, and that's the perseverance of the saints, that once God saves an individual, he will cause that individual to persevere till the end in the faith. But that's not the kind of perseverance I want to speak of this morning. But there's a perseverance that every Christian must exhibit toward a particular calling that he has in life. And that's a large part of what we've been covering lately that Tim has been teaching on Sunday mornings is spiritual giftedness, finding our gift, finding the calling that God has for us in our life. And one of the aspects of that is once we have found that, we need to persevere in it. We need to take that task that God has equipped us for and engaged us in, and we need to persevere in it until the end. We can end up being distracted in our assignment, and the perseverance goes away, and now the fruit is not going to be there. And if you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning, if you brought your Bibles this morning, turn over to Acts 13. If we don't persevere, it's going to affect a lot of people. It's going to affect our lives individually as men. It's going to affect those around us. It's going to affect the church. Because why does God give us gifts? He doesn't give it to us just for us to hang on to and kind of be amused with. It's for the benefit of the body. The scriptures tell the story of one Christian who received an assignment and stumbled by failing to persevere in that assignment. We're going to read from Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 1. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, which is a city there on the island of Cyprus, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. And that's the person we're going to be focusing on here. Paul and Barnabas had in Antioch, they'd received a calling by the word of the Holy Spirit. They were to be separated for God's purpose and for God's work. And this calling, we know now today as Paul's first missionary journey. And John Mark was along with them, but he wasn't just along as a passenger along for the ride. He was there as a helper or as an assistant. So the team sails immediately to the island of Cyprus. And John Mark, while he's there, is witness to tremendous things that happen in Cyprus. In fact, he was witness to one miracle that we know of, and that is the blinding of an opponent of the gospel, the false prophet Bar-Jesus, who opposed them there on Cyprus. And you might remember the story about how he was blinded. So here John Mark is not only seeing the great work of the gospel occurring in the island of Cyprus, but he's witness to a miracle as well. So now they're leaving Cyprus. The team sails from the island back to the mainland to continue the missionary journey. But as we go down to verse 13 of chapter 13, we find that John Mark has a change of heart. Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. But John left them and returned to Jerusalem. So John Mark leaves the team at this point. He returns to Jerusalem. And he didn't persevere in his calling on this occasion to be this help to Paul and Barnabas during their journey. And all of this, despite the fact that he had already witnessed a miracle in Cyprus, he had witnessed the power of the gospel going forth. Now, did this destroy John Mark's life completely? No, it didn't completely tear down his life. His usefulness was diminished for a time. And it caused later problems, as we're going to see as we turn over to chapter 15 of Acts. Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Okay, so the first missionary journey is past. Now they're getting ready to go out again. Let's see what fruit the Lord has brought in the places where we've been. They're getting ready to go out again. Verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take John called Mark along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. So, John Mark's departure on that first missionary journey had a lot of effects. It impacted two great works of God. First of all, it's possible that his departure during the first missionary journey affected the efficiency of Paul and Barnabas on that journey. We don't know for sure. But, you know, I imagine that John Mark had a role as an assistant that now wasn't being fulfilled. So now there's a hit that they take in their efficiency on that first missionary journey because he left, he deserted them. And Paul uses that strong language with this no excuses word, desertion. His earlier desertion not only affected that first missionary journey, but now it's causing a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas on this next journey. So now the next journey isn't going to take place in quite the way that it could have. They separate from one another. And the second aspect of John Mark's lack of perseverance was not just the effect on the work of God, but the effect on God's work in John Mark's heart. He lost the personal fruit, the spiritual fruit that he could have had while assisting in the first journey. He only went so far. And he also lost the ability to travel with Paul that second time. You know what? We can't allow ourselves to underestimate the value of the spiritual fruit that comes to us when we persevere in our calling. This fruit is only going to come through perseverance. It's not a one-time thing. It's day after day, year after year, even when we don't want to do it. Paul himself mirrored this and he modeled it because he expended his life in serving God by serving the church. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1 to see how he did this. Paul just burned out his very life, expended it, serving the church. And why? Because he wanted to have spiritual fruit to present to God. He wanted to see that fruit in other people's lives. Romans 1, starting in verse 11. "For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established." He's speaking to the Roman Christians. He wants to go there. He's been prevented until now. Verse 12, "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles." That's what drove Paul. That's what made him persevere through all of the perils that he went through throughout his life as an evangelist, a missionary, and teacher, and caused him to persevere so that I may obtain some fruit among you also. Okay, so does the story of John Mark end on a really bad note? Fortunately, it ends happily. It's a story of restoration. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 4, Colossians 4, to see how the story of John Mark ends. Fortunately, his failure does not completely destroy his usefulness in life. Because in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writes, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas's cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him." So we find here that Mark, later in his life, when Paul is in Rome, is of assistance to him there. He's carrying out his calling at this phase of life, under harsh circumstances, when Paul is imprisoned in Rome. And he's doing such a good job at it that Paul even recommends Mark to the other churches as one worthy of welcome, because he says, "About whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him." So if we flinch from the service that God calls us to, what's going to be our loss? How much will we lose if we don't persevere? Will it turn out in the end that when we're before the judgment throne of God, will we find out that we were just around the corner from great Christian fruit if we had hung in there just a little while longer? If we had not deserted when we did? Why did John Mark withdraw from the work of the first missionary journey? I mean, it's possible, I guess, one of the reasons that maybe he wasn't called to do it, but that's unlikely, because Mark, later in his life, we remember, was a great help to Paul and was an assistant to him there in Rome. So that was, I think that was his calling, was to do that. He may have grown tired of the work on the first missionary journey. He might have been afraid of the dangers that were ahead, and there were dangers ahead. What are some of the temptations that can impede us as men from persevering in our calling, the calling that we have from God? Any suggestions? What can we? Okay, we have a calling from God. We know what it is. What can cause us to not carry it out? Hard work. Absolutely. Yeah, that can do it. Yeah. Yeah, maybe that makes you unsure of your calling if people aren't, you know, encouraging you in that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Fear of rejection, yeah, big one. Yeah, distractions. It's one of them that I had written down here was competition from other pursuits. Yeah. Time pressure. Yeah, competition from other pursuits. I'll tell you what I had written down. Relying on our own strength instead of relying on the Lord. If I had to do whatever calling I have in my own strength, forget it. Doubt that we're called in a particular area. We talked about that before. You know, are we really sure that we're called to an area that we might feel that we have a calling to? Fear of the consequences of fully pursuing our calling. Because there will be, you know, quite possibly consequences to it. In terms of relying on our own strength instead of relying on the Lord, you know, once we know our calling, it might be tempting to think that the power to complete that calling is our own natural ability. But we have to realize that the gifting, strength, and even the opportunity to exercise these callings are things that come from God. It says in John 15, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." The power comes from the vine. We don't produce it ourselves. Fear of the consequences of fully pursuing our calling. Let's turn over to Joshua chapter 14. In Joshua chapter 14, there's a group of men who have a calling. Most of them fail in that calling, and a minority of them succeed in that calling and persevere in it. Joshua 14, we're going to start in verse 6. And in this scenario, the Israelites are drawing near to the promised land. They send out 12 spies to gain intelligence about the land that they're about to enter. 10 of these spies forsook their calling from God, and they discouraged the Israelites with a bad report of the land. So, okay, here's this big crowd, 10 of the spies, they're all going in a certain direction. And that direction is They're not persevering in their calling. They're going to discourage the people of God. But now we have these two who hang on and persevere, Joshua and Caleb. They fully completed their calling and tried to encourage the people by reminding them of God's promises. That's what all 12 of those spies were called to do. Most of them did not persevere. I imagine that Joshua and Caleb might have felt a little bit of fear at that point. They're the only two who are standing out. But they didn't go along with the crowd out of fear of the consequences. They summoned the courage and they gained God's reward as a result. They gained the full fruit that God had for them. Joshua 14, verse 6. This is later on. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years, from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim were there. With great fortified cities, perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. It's kind of a theme developing there, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. It's a big temptation for us not to follow the Lord God fully in our calling in life once we know our calling. He received the fruit, the reward of following God fully. Okay, let's turn over to 2 Timothy now, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy had a calling upon his life. And we're going to find out that it's easy to see how Timothy could have been tempted to not complete his calling. One thing to be in this day and age in a country where we're not persecuted for our faith and to be able to complete the call of God upon our lives here wasn't so that way then. Second Timothy chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 1. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." So here's Paul's final commands to Timothy. You know, Paul couldn't have chosen stronger language. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom." Couldn't have chosen stronger language. charged him in the most serious manner to complete or to bring to fullness the calling of his ministry. So what was Timothy to do to complete his calling of service to the Lord? First of all, he was to be faithful in preaching the word. In verse 2, it says, preach the word. That's one of the first things he charges him with. Be faithful in preaching the word. Secondly, he was to be continuously ready to preach the word, even at inconvenient times. Be ready in season and out of season. Third, in his service of the word, he was not to flinch from saying hard things that needed to be said, because it says here, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. You know, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting are not easy things to do. Those are hard words, and people are not going to like them. But he was not to flinch from doing it. It would have been easy to be tempted to not fully complete that calling. But here he was charged with it. And fourth, he was to have inexhaustible patience in his instruction. Use great patience in instruction. It's easy to be tempted not to complete that, because patience is one of the more difficult things. Day after day, year after year, having to preach the word again and again, and many times people don't listen. Have inexhaustible patience. And what were Timothy's obstacles? Why would he be tempted to not complete his calling? First of all, there's two kinds of obstacles. Obstacles presented by other people, and obstacles that we find within ourselves for not completing our calling. What were the obstacles presented by others? First of all, they will not endure sound doctrine. Verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The next obstacle presented by others, they will want pleasing words to be spoken to them, wanting to have their ears tickled. They want to hear the right things. They want to hear the things that make them feel good. Third, they will enlist teachers who will tell them what pleases them. Their ears, you know, they want to have their ears tickled. They want to hear what pleases them. So, you know, Timothy, they're probably not going to want you to preach to them anymore. They're going to go out and find teachers that are going to tell them what they want to hear. And they're going to turn away, finally, from Timothy's sound preaching to myths. Now try hanging in there with your calling, with all those obstacles lying in front of you. And then you have the obstacles presented by Timothy himself. First of all, Timothy was charged to carry out his life with serious soberness. There's an obstacle. He would have to endure hardship to complete his calling. Nobody wants to have to do that. And then finally, we learn in the book right before this, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, that Timothy would have to act in a serious manner so that others would not look down upon his youthfulness. You might remember that verse, don't allow people to look down upon your youth. And the way in which you do that is by acting in such a way as to not give people an opportunity to look down upon your youth. So those were the obstacles that were present within Timothy himself. But despite the obstacles, Paul charged him with persevering in his calling until the end, until it was brought to fruition, until the fruit was born, all the way until the end. So just in conclusion, God gives each of us a calling, right? We may not know what it is yet. We may still be seeking. But God has given to each of us a calling. He equips us to carry out that calling. Each person has at least one spiritual gift. We're equipped to carry out that calling in life. God calls us to persevere in that calling. It's not enough to go along for a while and then, you know, kind of flake out later on. If we persevere, we will bear fruit in our lives. The flip side's also true. The fruit's not going to be there, or it's going to be lacking if we don't persevere, and we're not going to know, perhaps until the final day, what could have been possible. There are obstacles to our perseverance in our calling. If it were easy, everyone would persevere. There's obstacles from outside, and there's obstacles from within us. But we are to persevere despite those obstacles, or we will impact two things: our own usefulness in God's kingdom and we're going to impact the ministry of others, just like John Mark did when he deserted the first time and he impacted the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. We don't want to be like that. Within our own church, we want to be able to serve. We want to be able to gain fruit as men for our own lives. We want the reward of God and the blessing of God upon our lives, and we want to be able to bless others, and that's really what it's all about, is the blessing that we can give to others by persevering in our calling. Amen. Lord, we just bring this before you as men. The obstacles are great to our perseverance. We pray, Father, that you would just bless us with enormous strength. Lord God, we can't do it in and of ourselves. The obstacles are too great. The strength needed is too great. But Lord God, we're not the ones that called and commissioned ourselves. Lord, you are the one who has called us. You are the one who has equipped us. You are the one who has given us strength. We pray that our reliance would not be in ourselves. We pray that your power would be with us. Strengthen us to persevere, we pray. Not just for a short time, but for the rest of our lives in this world, to persevere in our calling. In Jesus' name.